It's a lot of joy to my soul to not be able to get enough. Because what you have is so overwhelming already, and yet there's just so much more. And so I really enjoy spending time in worship and following Him. And amen. I trust that you do as well. By the way, we'd like to thank Brother Dave for fixing the steps out front. Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody realized how worn and torn they were. And we were getting a little concerned that somebody might trip and fall, and Dave jumped right to the task and took care of it. Thank you so much. Amen. And, you know, while I'm thanking, I mean, there's gentlemen and men and women here that do a lot in this church, and I thank you all. I know some would like recognition and some won't, but, you know, we're really blessed for the things that you do. You know, inside and outside, there's a lot of work that takes place, and there's a lot that needs to be done. And you know, people, when they see a need and they fulfill the need, it's just a blessing. And I appreciate that very much, and so thank you. coming up in about a month is the block party down in Genesee Park, which we're going to take part in. I'm looking forward to that. Saturday and Sunday, a bunch of churches and speakers and musicians and performers get together and just have a time of church out in Genesee Park, and inviting the whole community, hopefully, to come and learn of Jesus and His love for them. And so be looking forward to that, and we're going to need helpers for that as well. People to set up chairs, take down chairs, you know, and just all kinds of different activities and things where there'll be volunteers necessary to help out with. And so be thinking about that. That's August 22nd and 23rd, and so if you can keep those dates open to help out in that ministry, that'd be great. So just something to think about. We will have, we're going to have church tonight. I know Doug and his family are out again today. They've got a family member leaving, going back to Texas today, and so they're not here because they're spending a little bit of time with them. But we're still going to have service this evening. And so tonight at 6 o'clock we'll be here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll continue with our Celebrate Recovery program. And there was something else on my mind, and it seems to have slipped away. I really should write some things down sometimes, maybe. Children, would you like to go downstairs? Yeah, a couple of them. You have fruit striped socks on today? Woohoo! Somebody's anxious to get downstairs. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. God bless you. I hope that one of my desires every time we walk in this place is that we'll have an encounter with God that will just change our lives. And so I trust that that's what God wants to do in each and every one of us today. And so if you're a visitor here, this is your first time in our service, my prayer is that you will be blessed, that you will be moved by God, and that your life will never be the same. Some of us get a little too comfortable every now and again in the way that we are and the things that we're doing. And you know what? God challenges us each and every day to just take another step closer to Him, and I pray that today is one of those days. Amen. God bless the children and all those workers that went down to help them. Thank you, Lord. Last week, I started a little series based on Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I want to continue on that today, but before we go too far into it, I want to just take a moment and walk through the Gospels and get some ideas from Jesus Himself about what a follower of Christ looks like. And so we're going to go ahead and do that. And I'm going to start with the same verse that we started with, Matthew 4:19. He said to them, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here in this room. We thank you, God, for your word that you have given us to teach us and instruct us and help us to grow in knowledge and love. And Father, I pray a blessing today as we go through this morning's service, that you, Lord God, will lead us and direct us, and God, change our lives, draw us all closer to you. Help us, Lord, to be the followers that you desire for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know it's important that we do things the way that Christ wants us to do things, right? It's His will, not our will. And so, talking about followers of Christ, I want to, again, I want to look at a lot of different scriptures, and there's lots of them. There's several scriptures throughout the Gospels, where Jesus tells somebody to follow me. Now, it gets very personal. And when Jesus called me, he said the same thing to me. He said, follow me. And when he called you, he says the same thing to you. He says, follow me. But perhaps the path that I walk is a little different than the path you walk. And I'll address that a little later. But the truth, the bottom line is that we all need to be answering the call that Jesus has on our life about following him. And so we start with this particular verse, Matthew 4:19. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now we know that this is what he said to the first disciples that he called. They were fishermen. They were out in their boats, and they were fishing. And then right after Peter and John, I believe, right after he calls them, then he calls Andrew and his brother. They were in their boat, mending their nets or whatever it was they were doing. But these were fishermen. And he says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And the idea here is this, that followers of Jesus learn to use their God-given skills to advance God's kingdom. I'm curious what he would have said if he came up on a bunch of cattle ranchers that day. I don't know. Would he have said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men? Or what if he said something a little different, like, follow me, I'll make you herders of men? I don't know. But here's the idea. Each and every one of us have been given talents and skills. Something that God... Okay, first of all, I probably should establish that. And everybody needs to realize, and just speak this to yourself and say this to yourself. God has given me talents. God has given me talent. God has given you giftings. He has given some of you giftings different than others of you. For example, David did an awesome job on the steps out front. If I did the steps out front, it would not be an awesome job. He might say to David, follow me and I'll make you floorers of men. I don't know. But that's his gift. That's his talent. He does floors. He did all this, all the carpet, all the flooring you see in this place, he did it. That's his gift. That's his talent. That's what God has given him to do. And God allows him to use that gift in his following of Christ in order to advance God's kingdom. Are you aware of that? Whatever it is that you're called to do, God wants you to use that for his glory. Okay? Use that for his glory. He does what? Oh, Dave beats the drums too. Yeah, that's another talent he uses. Now, if I beat the drums, it wouldn't quite sound as steady. You know, I've run pieces of equipment where each hand and foot is doing something different and I can do it kind of flawlessly, but I sit behind a set of drums and forget it. Next thing you know, my foot's doing the same thing as my hand and everything. It's awesome. Yeah, that's why we have Dave. That's why God gifted Dave. Some people are hairdressers. Some people are masons. Some people are road builders. Some people work in factories. But God has given you giftings and skills, and he wants you to use those for his glory. Think about wherever you're at in the workplace. You know, Lloyd here works in trees. He climbs trees and cuts them down. I don't know how he still does it, but God's gifted him to do it and empowered him to do it. And in that, God wants to use Lloyd to win souls. Somehow, when he's up in somebody's tree, cutting it down, saving their house, somehow God wants to use that in order to lead somebody else to Christ. You see, God uses the skills that he has given us. He'll call us out of what we're doing in order to honor him and to glorify him. He says, I'll make you fishers of men. And so you might think, well, I don't know how to be a fisher of men. Well, what do you know how to do? Use that for God's glory. And you will see that God will use you in ways that you couldn't even imagine. Matthew 8:22 says, Jesus said to them, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Here's a guy who comes along and he wants to follow Jesus, but apparently his father died. And so he says to Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, let the dead bury the dead. And here's the idea that followers of Jesus need to focus on life and the calling which he has called us to do. He wants us to focus on life. He says, let the dead bury the dead. Now, is it important for us to go to the funerals of our loved ones and bury? Well, yes, of course it is. And so there's something a little deeper in what Jesus is telling this guy. For some reason, that particular guy, he needed to know right then and there that his focus needed to be on Jesus and his calling and not on whatever else is going on in his life. You know what? There's a lot of things that besides, you know, going to funerals and burying those who've passed. You know, as a pastor, I've done many of those. We have somebody here who's done even many more than I have. But you know what? There's a calling in that. And yeah, it's very important. And I need to do that. And others need to do that. But we always have to maintain our focus on life. Our focus on, you know, when I do a funeral for somebody who is a believer, my focus is on the life of the resurrection. When I do a funeral for somebody that I don't know if they're a believer, my focus is on the life of Jesus and his resurrection. But we cannot, and you know what? There's a lot of things outside of funerals that we do that are actually dead practices. You know that? There are things that we involve ourselves in that are dead. And we need to focus on life. We need to focus on God's calling. Think about the pastimes, the thing that, you know, we call pastimes, where we spend, you know, sometimes we call it entertainment. Sometimes we call it, you know, just going out and having a good time. But the truth of it is a lot of things that we do are dead activities that are not focused on life. And so it's very important for us, I believe, to hear what Jesus is saying to this man. You know what? Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, don't get involved in things that are fruitless for the kingdom of God. Stay involved in things that are life-giving. Stay involved in things that are focused on what God has called you to do at that moment. Not that everything else is just so trivial that we should completely ignore it, but our focus needs to be maintained on Jesus Christ and his life and the life that he puts in us. And so that's a follower of Christ, somebody who's not concerned with the dead things of this world, but rather concerned with that which gives life, and that's Jesus. My clicker's not working so good. Romans 6:11 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, count yourselves dead. All of the things in our lives, you know what? It would be a good thing for us to do once in a while to do a little self-examination. I'm always talking about self-examination. Do a little self-examination about the dead things in your life. And do a little pruning. How many know that you'd rather do some pruning in your life than have God do some pruning in your life? Because pruning is basically cutting off the stuff that's dead. And you know, if there's any sins in your life that need to be cut off, we need to be busy about getting rid of the dead stuff. Because the day will come when Jesus will take care of your sin. And oh boy, you'd be much better off if you're aware of what's going on in your life and you get rid of the dead stuff before he deals with it. Matthew 9:9 says, Jesus passed from there, saw a man named Matthew sitting in the seat of custom and said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now the idea here is followers of Jesus need to leave their sin behind. You see, the fishermen that he called, he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Fishing wasn't necessarily sinful. However, Matthew was a tax collector. And back in that day, collecting taxes was a very dishonest, very deceitful practice. And so he called Matthew and he said to him, he said, follow me. And Matthew immediately rose and he followed him. He left that deceitful, sinful lifestyle and started following Jesus Christ. And that's what we all need to do. I have had so many conversations with people that do not want to give up the sin in their life. They want to follow Christ, but they don't want to give up the sin in their life. And they get very offended when you point out to them, hey, you know what? This is what the Bible says about that part of your life. And they get very offended. But we, if we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to, like Matthew, get up from that table and walk away. Leave it behind and follow Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, you know what? I do not have to point out to anybody sitting here today, and the truth of it is, I don't have to point out pretty much to anybody when I get in these conversations with people that don't want to die to their sin. I honestly don't even have to point out to you what that sin is. Because chances are the Holy Spirit's already speaking to you about it. If there's sin in your life, and I know, you know why I know this? Because when there's sin in my life, He speaks to me about it. Sometimes we like to listen. And, oh, yes, God, you're right. I'll stop that. Sometimes we don't like to listen. It's like, oh, boy, He's bothering me about that again. Huh? We need to die to the sin that's around us and follow Christ. There's no life in sin. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to His disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, if you read that verse in Luke chapter 9:23, it says, take up his cross daily and follow me. How many like to deny themselves anything in life's pleasure? Anybody? Nobody. I'm really struggling. I want to lose some weight. I'd like to lose 20, 25 pounds at least. I'm having a real hard time denying myself the hot dogs and the pizza and the stuff that seems to just, you know, I'll do good for a day or two. All right, I've lost 2 or 3 pounds. Next thing I know, boom, right back to where I was. It's not easy denying yourself. And you know what? Sometimes it's not easy following Christ. But if we want to be followers of Christ, we need to daily deny ourselves. A few years ago, I was in the same place. I was at the same weight I'm at now. I wanted to lose weight. And you know what? It was a daily thing. I did it for months, and I lost like 20 to 25 pounds. It took over a year to get it back. But the reason it came back is because I stopped denying myself. You know, that's just a simple example. But that you know, whatever it is in your life, if there's something in your life that needs to change, and most preferably, you know, things in our life that are keeping us from following Christ the way that He would like us to, those things, it's very important that we learn how to deny ourselves and follow Him. It's a daily thing. Followers of Jesus are not concerned with their own cause, but they are concerned with God's. You know, how many like to take up a cause? Every now and again, we'll get something in our, you know, in our craw, for lack of a better word. Oh, I'm going to follow this cause. I'm going to take this up, and I'm going to run with it, and I'm going to do. Well, you know what? Make sure it's a cause that God has called you to, because we can get led astray so easily. And you know what? There's so many causes that will come our the world will throw at us. And we need to be aware that, you know what, I should not be tied up with that. I need to deny that particular thing in my life and take up my cross and follow Him. Now, what does taking up your cross and follow Him mean? Well, Jesus took up a cross. And what did it mean for Him? It meant that He died. But you know what the glorious part of that is? He didn't stay dead, did He? And you know what? If we would deny ourselves, die to ourselves, deny ourselves, take up His cross and follow Him, we will find life as well. I, for one, prefer to live a life that's full of life. Does that make sense? I mean, it's a pretty simple phrase. I like to live a life that's full of life. And I find that when I take up my cross and I follow Jesus Christ, that life is just so much more fulfilling. And, you know, talking about using your skills and in doing your job or whatever it is that you've been called to do to glorify God, you know, talking about that kind of thing. If you are not finding fulfillment in what it is you're doing right now, I would really question whether or not God has called you to do that. And the reason I say that is, you know, through the years, I've done all kinds of different work. You know, most of it had to do with construction stuff. Some of it I found to be very fulfilling. Some of it I found to be very frustrating. But I know this, the moment that I answered the call and I started following what he called me to do, I found great fulfillment. Now, I know there are people that find great fulfillment in teaching, you know, great fulfillment in climbing trees and cutting them down, great fulfillment in doing floor work or whatever. If you're in a job, I remember getting to a place in my job where it's like, you know what, this is not what I want to do. I am not finding fulfillment here. You know, when you get to that place, realize, you know what, maybe God is calling you to something else. Because when you're walking in God's will and you're walking in his calling, even if it's difficult and hard, it's fulfilling. And so just keep that in your mind. And, you know, take up that cross and follow him. And you will find life that is a joy to live, even if the circumstances around you aren't that great. You know, there are people that work in some of the, you know, worst circumstances, but they're so happy because they're doing what God's called them to do. And that's very important. And I encourage you to you know, do that examination in your life and see if, you know, you are truly being fulfilled spiritually, internally. And if you're using your gifts and your talents for God, if you don't find that fulfilling, then, you know, I would really question and ask God, Lord, lead me today in the direction you want me to go today. But followers of Jesus are not concerned with their own cause. They're concerned with God's cause. What is God's cause? God's cause is winning souls. God's cause is saving the lost. He said he didn't want anybody to perish. It's not his will that any man should perish. His whole cause, he loved the world so much he gave his only begotten Son, this whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? His cause is for every living soul to have everlasting life. He wouldn't have created us if he didn't desire us to be with him. And so when we take up his cause, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? Winning souls, fishing for men, hurting men, whatever it is you do, flooring men. I don't know about climbing trees and cutting down men. I don't know. Saving houses. Trimming men. Yeah, exactly. Whatever the case may be. Take up his cause. Think about that. This afternoon, each and every one of us probably have some sort of a plan. Do you have a plan for this afternoon? If not, God's got one for you. Take up his cause. Mark 10:21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Now, Jesus is talking here to, we know, the rich young man who came along and said he wanted to follow Jesus and asked him what he needed to do to be saved. And Jesus said, well, just sell all you have, give to the poor, follow me. Sounds simple enough. Unless, of course, you're a rich guy. Seemed to be pretty difficult for the guy. And so Jesus tells him, you know what, you know, just give to the poor. Here's the deal. Followers of Jesus will use their resource to help others and invest in their eternal future. Are you more concerned with the riches that you have here on this earth, or are you more concerned with the riches that you receive in heaven for obeying Jesus? Now, it's not a sin to be a rich man. Not in any way. Well, unless, of course, you receive all those riches through deceit and fraud and those types of things. But if God has blessed you with riches, hallelujah. But you know what? Those riches had better not be the focus of your life, but rather Jesus should. And if you are a rich person, I would encourage you very much to give to the poor. There are poor people everywhere. And you know what? I'm blessed. I know that there are people in this church that are poor that give to the poor. And that is awesome. And they find that God just keeps giving back. But you know, followers of Jesus will use a resource to help others. What do you have that you can help somebody else with? If you don't have money, okay, you still have something else you can help somebody else with. You know, the Boy Scouts. How many like it when you see the Boy Scouts downtown and they help some old lady across the street? It's a blessing, right? He's using what he has. What's he got? He's got youth and he's got strength, and he can take some old person's hand and lead him across the street. The resource that young boy has, he helps somebody with. You know, if you are somebody who is blessed financially, there's plenty of need. If you don't know what to give to the Salvation Army. Give to any particular church. And help people who have need. Invest in your eternal future. How many know that your eternal investment is much greater than any investment you're ever going to have on earth? The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, there are some people out there that are trying to gain the whole world. And you know what's really funny is when somebody like you or me try to do that. Woohoo, I'm going to collect it all. No, you're not. We're pretty limited, aren't we? But somehow in our minds, anybody, don't raise your hand, but has anybody ever followed after one of those get-rich-quick schemes? Anybody? No. Yeah. Just about every day, something will come along. Oh, if you do this, you can get rich on your computer. You can get rich on your telephone. You can get rich, you know, selling pencils on the corner or whatever it is. I don't know. There's all kinds of pyramid schemes, get-rich schemes. I don't know anybody. You know, Amway used to be one of them. And Amway was started as a Christian organization. I know somebody who got saved through going to Amway meetings. Like, really? But it was one of those get-rich things. It's like, well, you know, you buy into this, and then you start to sell, and then people will be under you, and then all this. And it's like, you know what? Nobody ever gets rich doing that stuff. But the problem really is the focus is so off. We're trying to gain the world. And most people are more concerned about gaining the world than they are about their own soul. And that's really a scary thing. And so use the resource that God has given you. And if you don't know what to do with the resource that God has given you, spend a lot of time in prayer. I would spend a lot of time in prayer. God, you've blessed me with all this. What should I do with it? How can I use it to glorify you? How can I use it to help the poor? How can I use it, God, to be a steward in such a way that you, God, are glorified in what you have blessed me with? That's very important. And so that's what followers of Jesus do. Anybody kind of get an idea, a little bit of a focus on what followers of Jesus are and what they're to be like? There's a few more. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and 62. Another said also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Followers of Jesus have one focus. Anybody that comes to the Lord, I know a lot of people, I've seen lots and lots of people come to the Lord, but yet look back. I say, you know what? I want to go back and take care of something over here. And Jesus is like, you know what? If all you keep doing is looking backwards, I can't use you. Followers of Christ have one focus, and it's forward. It's forward going. The things of the past are in the past. How many have a hard time letting go of the past? Sometimes that's hard. You know what, God, I got this far in you, and I'm really glad that, oh, I'm so blessed, but wait just 1 minute, I'll be right back, I got to go take care of something over here. No, you don't. Just keep focused. One focus. Can you imagine a church or churches that are filled with people who have one focus? And that is to follow Jesus Christ, to answer the call, to do what he has called each and every one of us as individuals to do in order that the whole body of Christ is moving forward. Nobody looking back, nobody concerning themselves with the things of the world or the things of the past that kept them from Christ in the first place, but rather all with one focus, doing the job that God has called us to do. You know what? I as a pastor for many years, have had a desire to win every soul in this city. I've talked to other pastors that are like, that'll never happen. And I'm thinking, why are you in the ministry if you don't have a desire and a goal to win every one of them? You know, we can't do that if we're multi-focused. Oh, well, I got to do this over here first. Oh, I got to do that over there. No. If we're going to win a city, we got to have a focus on Jesus Christ and following him. Jesus had a way of walking into a city. You know what? He would walk into a city, he'd heal one or two people, and guess what? The whole city starts following. I'm thinking about the woman at the well. Jesus speaks to this woman at this well, the Samaritan woman. Reveals himself to her. She goes into the city and tells the others, hey, you know, there's a prophet out here. There's a guy who says it's Jesus Christ, and I believe him, that he's the Messiah. And they all run out to see him. It says the whole city came out to see him and got saved. One focus. You know what? The guy, he wanted to go back and bid farewell to his family. I wonder what Jesus would have said if he said, hey, wait a minute, Jesus, I want to go back and grab some others to come with us. I wonder what that would have been like, if that would have been a little different idea. One focus. That's what followers of Christ have. What's your job today? Win souls. What's my job today? Win souls. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I mean, let's be honest. How often do we actually tell somebody about Jesus Christ? How often? In all honesty, it should be a daily thing. We should be looking for opportunities. How many of us are on Facebook? Facebook is one of those things that's either really cursed or it's really blessed. You can be led way astray in that thing, or you can really do some work for God in that thing. Every day. And you know what? We have to be careful too, because don't be phony about it. I've seen people that's all they do, religious stuff, religious stuff, religious stuff, religious stuff, and it's like, wow, that person's so religious, that can't even be real. You know, but be real. Be who you are, but use that thing as a tool to win souls. To tell somebody about Jesus. Or to shut up someone who's a Jesus denier. That doesn't always work so well. But here's the thing. I'm okay. I like to get in debates. And I like to get in conversations where somebody is denying Christ. Because their words are being seen by hundreds of people. And my words are being seen by hundreds of people. And now hundreds of people have a decision to make. Does this guy know what he's talking about? Or does this guy know what he's talking about? And so I don't mind having the conversation, allowing somebody the freedom to express their opinion and deny Christ, because that gives me freedom to express my opinion and lift him up. And what's Jesus say? If you lift up my name, what happens? I will draw them to me. And so I really enjoy that. But every day, we should be looking for opportunities wherever we find ourselves to tell somebody about Jesus. Say, hey, you know, and again, we've talked about this. How hard is it to tell somebody about Jesus? Well, sometimes it's kind of hard, but because we don't know how to articulate, we don't know how to steer conversations. But the more you practice it, the better it is, the easier it gets. You know, my wife and I had this conversation the other day. She was, I forget what exactly example we were talking about, but she was talking about how hard it is for her to articulate particular conversation. And I said, well, if you don't have the conversation, you'll never figure out the best way to articulate it. And so you have these conversations with people. Are you going to say something that's wrong and sounds stupid? Yeah, probably. But then the next time you're going to remember, hey, that was wrong and stupid. I'm going to say it different next time. And so you say it different the next time. And you learn. And what happens as you have conversation and you let dialogue flow, you build a form of communication that is clear, that is precise, that makes sense to people. You know, for instance, in also knowing who it is that you're talking to. Now, the words that I've said today, if I was to speak them all downstairs to the children, would probably have little effect. I would need to speak in a way that the children would understand. Okay? And so always be aware of who your audience is. Be aware of if you're talking to a believer, a non-believer, somebody who, and there's different types of non-believers. There's those that are just totally defiant and in your face and want to shut you down, or there's the non-believer that just hasn't heard about Christ yet. I find it a lot easier to talk about Jesus with somebody who hasn't heard about him yet. And so how do I tell that person about Jesus? Well, I have an experience, and you have an experience, and that's all you have to share is your experience. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and a word of our testimony. My testimony is different than yours. Share your testimony with somebody. Say, hey, you know what? I was a sinner, and somebody told me about Jesus, and I started looking at the Bible, and I started searching, and I found out who he was, and I learned that he died for my sin. And that if I believe in him, he'll give me everlasting life. He changed my life. You know, even if you don't know anything, just say, you know what? Let me tell you something. You start following Jesus, he'll change your life. How many people know people in the workplace that are not happy with their life? Right? People that are just not happy with life. And I like to say to them people, you know what? I know someone who can help you be happy with life. Oh, yeah, who's that? Jesus. Why not? Why not try Jesus? You're not happy anyway. Well, that can't possibly be a good thing. How's that going to help me? Well, you start searching and seeking for him, and you'll find out how to help you. Well, how do you know it's going to help me? Because it helped me. Right? Is there anybody here that came to Christ? And by the way, I'm talking as if I trust that everybody here knows Jesus as their Savior. I hope you do. If you don't, come see me after the service and I'll pray for you. But I believe probably everybody sitting here is a believer of Jesus Christ, which means you've had an experience with Jesus. He's changed your life. Is there anybody here who started following Jesus that he didn't change their life for the better? He changed their lives for the better, didn't he? We have a testimony. We have something awesome to share with other people. And that's Jesus Christ. And so followers of Jesus will have one focus. It's not about what we're going to have for lunch in a few minutes. Although some of you are probably getting pretty hungry about now. Thinking, oh man, I wish he'd just shut up so we could go eat. Huh? Speak the truth in love, right? But our focus needs to be on God's calling for each and every one of us. You know, when he told those fishermen, I'll make you fishers of men, what was he saying to them? He said, I'm going to make you guys who win souls. That's what he was saying. These are things that followers of Jesus do. Now, a couple more. John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And John 12, 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Followers of Jesus have close relationship with Jesus. Close relationship with Jesus. He's not just a fairy tale. He's just not another name in a book that we read. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of our souls, and he dwells in our hearts. And he wants to have close relationship with us. He wants us to know his voice, hear it and know it. We recognize his voice. And you know what? Followers of Jesus are intimate with him. And we like to stay in his presence. He says, where I am, that's where there'll be. How many times do we run astray and we get over here and we say, oh, where's Jesus? Well, maybe I should get to where he is. You know, we like him to be where we are a lot of times, but sometimes we put ourselves in places that we ought not be. We need to get back to where he is. That's what followers of Jesus are. They know his voice, and they have an intimate relationship with him, so much so that you know when you're in his presence, and you know when you're not in his presence, and it concerns you enough when you find yourself, oh my gosh, I'm not in God's presence at this moment. I want to move back over here because I want to be where he is. Followers of Jesus have close relationship. If you do not have a close relationship with Christ, I want to encourage you to get on your face in prayer. Call on his name. Ask him to come into your life in a deeper, in a greater way so that you could know him better and know him more. If you're one, and I get this all the time, people say, you know, I pray, he never talks to me. Yes, he does. He talks to you every day. You just aren't recognizing his voice. I had one guy tell me a while ago, oh, you know what, I pray, I never hear his voice. I think that he just, I don't know, he must talk to other people, but I don't think he talks to me. I think he was expecting an audible voice from heaven to just speak. And it's like, you know what, I don't hear his voice audibly either, but I hear his voice in here. Well, how do you know it's his voice? You just know. It's more of a knowing than a hearing. And when he speaks to you, you know when he speaks. If you're in tune with him, if you're intimate with him, if you spend time in his presence, you'll know his voice. And so if you're not hearing his voice, you don't think he talks to you, I encourage you, spend more time in prayer. Spend more time reading his word. I mean, that is another way that he speaks to us, just with his word. That's a lot. Sometimes you'll read a verse and it'll just jump right off the page and right into your heart. And it's like, wow, God just told me something. And other times you'll be just in prayer and not sleeping. How many sleep when you go to prayer? If you pray long enough, sometimes. We used to do all night Friday night prayers here. Usually around 2, 3 o'clock you find some of us sleeping maybe. But no, really focusing, really, really desiring him. Really wanting to be in his presence. Really desiring to hear his voice. And you know what? He'll come in. The Bible says if you seek, you will find. He's at the door of your heart knocking. If you open it up, he'll come right in. That's a very intimate relationship. And so, again, followers of Christ have close relationship with him. And I encourage you to be that kind of follower. John, come on, 13:36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus says, where I go, you can't follow me now, but you shall follow me later. Followers of Jesus want to be where he is. You know, as a leader of this church, I have to occasionally just get on my knees and say, God, where are you going? What direction do you want us to go? A few months ago, it was in the direction of the love languages. You know, we did a whole series on the love languages, and I believe God blessed many of us with that particular series. Now, you know, I've got to the place, okay, God, where are you going now? I want to be where you are. And I want to go where you go. And I want to lead this church in the direction, Lord, where you send us, where you want us to be. I want to be where you are, and I don't want to be anywhere else. We as a church want to be where Jesus is and nowhere else. And guess what? I believe, how many have read the book, The Four Blood Moons? You read it? Did you enjoy that book? There's a lot of insight in there, isn't there? The Four Blood Moons, written by John Hagee, is a book that talks about biblical prophecy. How many know that we're in the last days, right? How many know that Jesus Christ is coming back real soon? Right? That's what our Bible teaches us. And so I'm reading that book and I'm really enjoying it, but I'm learning some things about, and the four blood moons is about, you know, full moons that are the eclipses of the moon, and they happen to fall on specific Jewish dates. And there are a few different times in history past where those four blood moons, four eclipsed moons, happen to fall exactly on the same Jewish dates, their Jewish holidays, and very significant things have happened. People are really wondering, and now I don't know if they're I don't believe they're necessarily proclaiming that Jesus is going to be back at a certain date. Nobody knows that date, and if you say you do, you're a liar because you don't know. Jesus said only God knows. But people are really curious about these events that are coming up in prophecy, that are written in God's word and prophecy, and we're seeing played out before our eyes, if perhaps Jesus Christ is going to show up at any moment. And the church will be raptured and the tribulation period will start. You know, if you understand your Bible and you read it, there's some things in there, it's like, oh my gosh, there's some stuff going to take place. So it's very important that we as a church are moving in the direction that he wants us to go. And I believe right now that direction is in the realm of winning souls. I think that perhaps is why he's led me in this particular direction to talk about fishing for men. Sharing the gospel. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, there's one thing for you to do. Do what he did. Win souls. Pray for the sick. Feed the hungry. Visit the widows and the orphans. And all those things. And we need to be about our Father's business when he shows up. I'm going to talk about that later in the future. But followers of Christ want to be where he is. And so let's as a church be praying this. As a church, Lord, where do you want us? You know, my thing a few years ago, before we started Celebrate Recovery, was, God, what do you want us to do? I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. And he led me to that program, basically, as my eyes just kind of opened to this whole issue of addiction in our city is so rampant and run over. Well, guess who's the best facility to deal with addiction issues in a city? Is it the jail? No. Lock them up. Does it change them? No. Is it any other? You know, there's several other programs out there to help with addiction, several other secular programs out there, and they all have their part and they do something. But who do you think the best people are in order to reach out to the addicts and have their lives changed for the better? Who do you think that is? The church. You see, I went to that meeting. They did a round table where, you know, the senators got together and they did these little round table discussions where they had senators there, they had police officers there, they had health officials there, and they're all going to talk about what to do about this whole heroin issue. And I got an opportunity to step up to the podium and I said to them, I said, you know what? Who was it? It was Nozzolio, I believe, was at the meeting, or I don't know. And I said to him, I said, you know, you gentlemen, you see this as a political problem. And the police force officers over there, they see it as a police problem. And the medical people here see it as a medical problem. But what I see in all of this addiction and all this abuse and all this tragedy in our cities is a church problem. Because if the church was out doing what Jesus had called us to do, I don't think there'd be so many people lost. And so the church needs to stand up, and I believe that God called us to be a catalyst in this city to go after the lost and to reach out for those that are really lost in those addictions. That's why we started Celebrate Recovery here. Lord, I want to go where you're going, Lord. I want to go there. That's what followers of Christ do. Last one. Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now here, Peter was, if you go back there to John chapter 21 and you read this little story, Peter was looking and he sees the disciple that Jesus loved, it says, the one that was at the Last Supper, had his head laying on Jesus' breast, and Jesus had just told Peter what type of death that he described a little bit, what type of death that Peter was going to die. And so Peter's looking at this other guy and says, well, what about him? And Jesus said, you know what? Don't worry about him. What's it to you if I decide that he's going to stay alive until I come back? You follow me. And so followers of Jesus fulfill their calling no matter what others around them are or are not doing. And you know what? We can look around and we can look at churches that are doing way better than we are. And we can look at churches that are doing way worse than we are. But you know what? Jesus says, don't worry about them. What's it to you if the church down the street runs 2,000 or if the church down the other street runs 3 or 4? You do what I've called you to do. And that's very important that we as followers of Jesus, we don't surround ourselves or we don't get too concerned about the things that are taking place in other places. We need to follow Christ in the way that he's called us. Fulfill your calling no matter what others around you are or not doing. Now we as individuals and we as a church need to keep that in mind. You know, how is it that every now and again we'll look at somebody else, wow, God's really blessing them. Well, what about me? Well, God is very concerned with you. But he doesn't want you to be falling jealous to what he's done for somebody else. Trust him for you, okay? Follow him. Go where he's called you to go. Do what he's called you to do. And become a follower of Jesus. You know, Jesus wasn't afraid to go to the hard places. He wasn't afraid to call out people in authority. He wasn't afraid to call out people of no significance. He wasn't afraid to spend time with sinners. He wasn't afraid to do what God, his Father, had called him to do. And you and I need to be focused. We need to be in relationship with Christ. And we need to be concerned with going forward in him, in his life, in his love, and not concerning ourselves with the ways of the world. You see, as we go forward the next few weeks, I know this is a new experience for me. I've said this several times that I never considered myself to be a serious preacher, but God has recently been just giving me just different direction to go. And I don't know if it's because I'm more sensitive to what his direction or than I was before. I don't know. If that's the case, great. I encourage you too to seek his face and become more sensitive with the direction he wants you to go tomorrow as well. But as I think about the direction that we're going, I can see that God is very concerned right now with lost souls. And he wants each and every one of us to be doing our part. Because he's given the job to us. He's blessed us. Whew! What? Mom got away for a minute? That's all right. He has blessed us by sending somebody else. Who got saved because somebody else told you about Jesus? I did. Now it's our turn to take what God has given us and share it with somebody else and save them. Amen. Followers of Christ, stand with me if you will. Hopefully that gave you a little bit of a focus of what a follower of Christ is like. We're focused, we're moving forward, we're staying with him, not concerning ourselves with the past, maintaining an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, doing the one thing he's called us to do. I pulled out an old song. You, most of you will probably recognize it right away. But as we sing this song, I just want you to take a moment and just really think about what it is that you do, where it is that you go. And see if perhaps the Lord is just drawing you closer to Him, that you might follow Him a little closer. If you'd like prayer, you know, the altar is always open. You can come and we'll pray. But do a little soul searching for yourself today. How focused are you in your calling? Are you even aware that you're called? Are you in the place where God wants you to be? And if not, then let's ask God to help us to get there and to be the fishers of men that He's called us to be. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world Lord, I thank You that You have given us instruction in Your Word how to be a follower. Help us, God, not to go astray, not to follow anything but You. The world has so much things to offer and to distract us and cause us, God, to follow other things. But I pray today for each and every soul in this place that our hearts will be set, our minds made up, oh God, and that we will not turn aside, but we'll stay focused on You. Bless each one today as we become greater followers. Lead us and direct us, oh God, in the way that You will have us to go. In Jesus' name.